We're going to jump into John 13, and just the first part of John 13, and this is probably a story that you've heard before, even if you're not that familiar with the Bible. We're going to be talking about when Jesus is washing his disciples' feet, and as always, one thing that is amazing about the Word of God is that it's living and active, and that you can never mine the depths of it. There's always more. So this week, I feel like there was more, and I'm excited to share some things, and before we jump in, I want to pray that God would help me and that God would help us as we hear the Word of God. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you that we have the revelation of God. We know what you're thinking because you've given it to us. And God, I ask, Lord, that we wouldn't take this for granted. God, help me to speak this. God, help us to hear this. And Father, we don't just want to know. We want to believe it as true. We want to embrace it. We want to receive it. We want it to become life to us. So God, I ask, Lord, that this would be transformative to us. Lord, that this would shape us as a people. And Lord, this wouldn't be something to know so we could spit out a Bible verse, but Lord, at the core of who we are, that we would become more like Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, John 13, I'm going to read verses 1 through 20, and we're just going to kind of delve into this. So this is kind of like, the ministry of Jesus is at its culmination, and it's like a week before he goes to the cross. So everything that happens here is Jesus is tying up loose ends, getting the disciples ready for what's happening. And you need to know that everything that happens in this last week is significant. So I want you to think about this. This wasn't just a random event. This was significant. And Jesus purposefully did this. So chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour has come to depart out of this world to be with the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and he was going back to God, rose from supper and he laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around them. He came to Simon Peter and said, "Lord, do not wash my feet." Jesus answered him, What I am doing to you, do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." But Jesus answered him, "If I don't wash you, you have no share with me. You have no part with me." Simon Peter said, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him, and that's why he said, not all of you are clean." Verse 12 says this, "When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to him, 'Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant's not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I'm telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place," he's talking about the betrayal, "you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to him, to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." Whew. Unbelievable. You know, sometimes I think we read the Bible and we read a story and we're like, okay, Jesus washed feet and it happened really quick. But you need to know that these were long meals. You know, like this took time. And I want you to picture this. So it's a week before Jesus is going to die. And they're sharing a meal together. There's a group of them. And this isn't like we do. We sit at the table and we're all up. They're kind of reclining. It's kind of like more coffee table level. You know, like they're reclining at the table. And these meals take a long time. Like they're having conversation. They're enjoying the meal. And it was typical in the ancient times for feet to get washed because they were nasty, funky, gross. And usually it was a servant who did that. So I want you to picture this. The meal is going on. Jesus gets up in the middle of the meal, okay? They're eating. They're having a good time. And he takes off his outer robe, puts on a towel, and he begins to get water. And so people are reclining like this, and he starts washing feet. And the disciples, you got to just think about the disciples, like, I think they whispered a lot to each other. What are they doing? Do you know what I mean? Like, Jesus was always doing things that are like, I don't understand. That's why Jesus says, in a little while, you'll understand. Implying that they don't understand. You know, they're just like, what is Jesus doing? Going around washing the feet of the disciples. And you need to know, like, I don't know how your feet are, but I take really good care of my feet. And they still stink, you know? Like, you got to think, like, this was not this honorable task. This is nasty funk, you know? Like you don't do this. This was, like, the low person. This was the servant who went around. And I picture this, you know, meal going around, and people are enjoying themselves, and the servant's going out in the background just doing this, taking care of your feet, and you know, it's not part of the conversation. You don't talk about your feet getting clean. No one does. You don't talk about feet. It's gross. They didn't talk about feet then also, you know? But here's Jesus washing dirty feet. It's incredible. One thing that I am constantly amazed at with Jesus is that God became a man, God in heaven, who was worshipped by millions of angels, became a human being. And not just that, but like everything that we went through, he went through. You know, he knows what it's like to get dirty, literally. He knows what it's like to do dirty jobs. And I think it's unbelievable. And one thing, I was just thinking about all these other religions that have all these grand ideas. We serve a living Savior. Maybe let's remember that. A living Savior who showed us how to live. He didn't just expound great ideas. He showed us how to live. Isn't that amazing? Just that alone makes me want to worship Jesus. You know, like this isn't just, hey, here's some great thoughts on life, great thoughts on how to live a better life. No, no, no. This is the account of how Jesus showed us how to live. That's why the invitation of following Jesus is like Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, like I know how to follow Christ because he showed me, you know? That's why, like, we're without excuse. We know how to live. Now, we might say no to that, but if you have access to the Bible, and if you're a believer in Jesus and the Holy Spirit is in you, we know how to live, right? We know. And honestly, the point of church and gathering together is to encourage each other. You know, to keep coming back to Jesus, to keep coming back to the Word of God, to keep getting our eyes up because it's easy to get our eyes down here, right? So I praise God that he has shown us how to live and invited us to follow him. Amen? That wasn't part of the sermon, but I guess that is part of the sermon, just as we get in. Before we dive in, you know, so Jesus is talking about the last week, and he's washing the feet, but Judas is talked about in this passage. And something I want to share just in the midst of all this that I thought was so profound that I never noticed before is that in the midst of this, Jesus is saying that one of you is going to betray me. And they're talking, who's going to betray? Am I? I don't know. And it said that Satan had already tempted Judas to betray him. Okay? And something that's just incredible is that in John 6, Jesus knew, this is what it says, Jesus knew from the beginning those who were did not believe and those who would betray him. So you need to know this, that Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him from the beginning. Yet Jesus walked these 3 years of ministry, walked side by side with him, loved him, served him, knowing that he was going to betray him. Isn't that crazy? It's unbelievable. Who is this man, Jesus? So Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. So he's talking, he's saying, one of you is going to betray me. Satan is tempting him to betray Jesus. But one thing that's crazy is that if you jump a little further, John 13, 27, it said that Satan entered him. Satan entered Judas. Now, I have never thought about this before, but I want you to think about this. So there is such a thing as demon possession, where there's actually evil spirits that possess a person. But Satan possessed. That's what Judas was. Satan possessed. So this wasn't just a betrayal of a friend when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas comes with the band and kisses Jesus. You need to know that Satan was possessing Judas when that happened. Now think about that. This wasn't just a betrayal of a friend. This is the highest mockery in the spiritual realm. You know, the created being is kissing his creator, sentencing him to being murdered. I mean, it was such an incredible mockery. Yet Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, enduring its scorn and its shame. And you need to know, like, the cross wasn't just the pain of the cross, although that was part of it. It was the sin of the whole world, all that dirt, all that grime, all that evil. And not only that, but it was the mockery of Satan. Do you see that? It's unbelievable. Yet Jesus willingly walked through it. Why? Because he knew that victory was around the corner. Amen? It's awesome. So I've never seen that about Judas before, but that's something that's happening right in the middle of this. But Jesus loving them, even loving Judas, even loving his enemy. So when Jesus says, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you, he's saying that with Judas right there, knowing that that man was going to betray him. He's saying, love your enemy. So you need to know that when we have enemies and Jesus calls us to love, he's not asking you to do something that he has not done. Incredible. So Jesus is washing feet, and it's taking a long time, and the disciples are like, what's going on? And he's just slowly, he's not saying anything, he's just doing it. And one thing that I think is incredible is that Jesus isn't someone who just says things, he does them. So he is showing them this illustration, this grand illustration. And you need to know that when Jesus says, you know, as I'm washing your feet, you also have to wash other people's feet. He's not talking about just feet, okay? We'll talk about that in a little bit. But this isn't about I wash feet, you wash feet. So when you come to church, let's wash feet, because I don't know what culture that'd be okay in. You know, like, this isn't about washing feet. This is a grand illustration that Jesus was sharing with his disciples. And they're saying, what in the world? But right at the beginning of this passage, it's talking about Jesus. And right at the beginning, it says that when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Isn't that beautiful? And then it says, during supper, you know, when the devil already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him, it says, verse 3, please get this, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, that's when he washed the disciples' feet. Do you get that? So, right at the end, when Jesus knew it's coming down to it, my time is coming, not for the cross, but for the glory of it, for the victory of it, because it's saying, you know, that he had knew that the Father had given him all things. So at the realization that Jesus had that all authority was given to him, isn't that what he said in Matthew 28? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth and under the earth. All authority is given to Jesus. So at that time when he's like knowing that that was coming, that everything was given to him, knowing that he had come from God and knowing that he was going back to God, it's then that he washed the disciples' feet. Wow. So at the pinnacle, when Jesus knew that he was going to be high and exalted, given the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess, and every knee is going to bow, that he is Christ the Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is the Savior who died because of love, and he has been given the name above all names. At that realization, he served the disciples. He went low. So when he was knowing that he was going to go high, he went low. And not just low as in he's equal with me, low as in he's a servant of me. Isn't that incredible? You need to know that Jesus didn't come down here to just be God with us. Jesus went down here to become a servant to us. God's ways are not our ways. Jesus is the highest ranking anything. He's above the angels. He's above everyone. Yet he comes to serve. I feel like I always reference this passage and maybe just every week we should just say this verse and just get used to it because it's just so good. Just Philippians 2, hopefully I can find it because whenever I look for things, I miss it. But it says Philippians 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only look to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which was yours in Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Not just God with us, equal with us, but a servant. This is Jesus being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And this is the verse that Jesus was realizing. Therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth, every tongue, that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Jesus at his height, at the realization that it was all his, all authority. He was coming from God. He emptied himself, and he was going to go back to God. He wasn't going to have to be a human being anymore. He was going to go to heaven. He was going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. At that point, he chose to show the full extent of his love and to serve. That's unbelievable. And it says, that he showed, it says in my translation, that he loved them to the end. And a better kind of understanding of that passage is that he showed them the full extent of his love. So at the end, he'd been living, walking with them, showing them how to live, teaching them. And at the very end, this culmination where everything was going to come together, he showed them the full extent of his love. And the full extent of his love was to look like a servant, to serve. That's what love looked like, to serve. Not just to have fuzzy feelings for people, but to serve. So Jesus, when he's saying that this then is how you should live, he's saying, you're called to serve just as I served. So the point of all this is, if I go low, you also should go low, right? If I go low, you also should go low. It's amazing. The kingdom which is upside down. Verse 12 says, Jesus, after he'd washed them, he says, do you understand what I've done to you? Do you know what this is? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I, the Lord and teacher, has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do just as I've done for you. Just as the Son of God went low, you also should go low. So, beloved church, this is a high calling. This is the call of Jesus on our life, to go low, to be humble, to consider others better than ourselves. This is completely upside down. If you recall, there's a passage in Luke 22 when the disciples were talking about who's the greatest in the kingdom of God. You know, the Messiah is here, the Savior of the world. We're hanging with him. He's going to take over the whole world. And they're arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom, who's going to sit on his right hand. And they're talking about being great. And then Jesus pipes in. Oh, ruins everything. Jesus finally speaks into this. This is Luke 22:24. Says a dispute arose among them, which they were regarding who was the greatest. And he said, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is great, one who reclines at a table or one who serves? Huh? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Isn't that crazy? Jesus just threw the whole thing upside down. So, beloved church, do you want to be great in the kingdom of God? Put aside your title. Put aside your job. Put aside your place in family, whatever it is, and go low just like Jesus. And that is where greatness is in the kingdom of God. So Jesus is saying, if I go low, you go low. So beloved, I invite you to gladly be like Jesus and become a servant. Beloved, do you know what we're called to be in Santa Rosa and this city, this county? Servants. Do you know what we're called to be with each other? Servants. Do you know why I'm here? I'm supposed to be a servant. One who serves. How'd you come in this morning? How'd you live last week? Did you live as a servant, or were you doing your life hoping to get served? The call of God is great. And the call of God is to go low because he went low. He didn't just come from heaven down to earth. He served us and invited us into his calling. So, beloved, we are privileged to be like Jesus, to serve just like Jesus. When you are a servant, do you know what? You are being just like Jesus. It's beautiful. So Jesus is washing the feet, these dirty feet. But something that is absolutely incredible in all this is that the cross was around the corner. So again, I ask you, like, why did he wash feet this time? You know, like, they'd eat many meals together. It's not like this was the only meal they were coming together with stinky feet. There had been many meals with stinky feet, and there had been many washings of feet. So why did Jesus at this time wash the disciples' feet? Is it because he's like, it's just really bad today, and no one else is doing it? Okay, I got this. No, everything that Jesus did was purposeful, especially as we look into the last week that he was here before he went to the cross. Like, there is deeper meanings than just service going on. Like, you have to know that this was an example. Jesus was giving us an example about service. So that is true. That is part of what Jesus was doing. But you have to know that there is such a greater depth that is going on. On the way to the cross, he says, you know, Peter is saying, don't wash my feet. Like, I'm not worthy to have my feet washed from you. And Jesus is saying, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. So hold on. If we don't get our feet washed, we don't get to be a... It's not just about washing feet. You know this is greater. You know this is deeper. See, this was an object lesson about serving, but this is so much deeper. This is about being cleansed of our sin. This is about Jesus becoming a servant unto death, even death on the cross. He was saying, I am serving you by going to the cross and dying for your sins. And by serving you, I am going to cleanse you from all that filth that you walk in. Isn't that incredible? So Jesus is just on display, showing all these things by washing their feet and showing the ultimate service, the ultimate sacrifice, that he was going to give his life away. Bless the Lord. Who is like our God? No one. So Jesus humbled himself, came obedient to death, serving us to the very end, showing us the full extent of his love by serving us, by washing our feet, by cleansing us of our sin. And I don't know this for sure. I studied this a little bit, and I don't feel like anyone has really a full understanding of this. But you know how Peter was saying, well, if I don't have any part of me unless my feet get washed, then wash my whole body. And Jesus says, you don't need to because you're already clean. But there are people here who aren't clean. He was referring to Judas. So what I believe that means is that as believers in Jesus Christ, we've been washed, fully washed. Like, we have been completely clean. But do you know what? Our feet still need to get washed sometimes, right? Right? I mean, can we agree here? You know, like, we can be clean where we don't need a shower. I don't need a shower. I'm good. I don't need a bathe. But my feet still need to get cleaned. And I really believe that that is a picture that Jesus is showing about, boy, we go through life, and do you know what? Even as followers of Jesus Christ, we do trip and we do sin. And you know what? You're clean. You are secure in heaven. Your name is written down. You've been saved. You've been rescued. You've been sanctified. You've been redeemed. You've been justified. But do you know what? You still get dirt on your feet. So part of the rhythm of being a follower of Jesus is that we confess our sins one to another. You know, because our feet still get dirty. And as a response to salvation, we hate our dirty feet. We hate our dirty feet. And God, I'm sorry. I confess. There's dirt on my feet again. Cleanse me and take this dirt away. Isn't that beautiful? It's not about salvation. Remember, Jesus says, you're clean. You're clean. But you know what? I'll still wash your feet. I'll still take all that away. I'll take all that away. Our God is awesome. Miguel, why don't you come on up? You know, another facet in this that I feel like is challenging is that Peter did not want Jesus to wash his feet. In essence, he's like, I got this. Let me deal with my own feet, Jesus. You don't need to touch my mess. Let me deal with my own feet. And Jesus rebuked him. son, sit down and let me clean your feet. You know? And beloved, this is real. This raises his head in us where we say, you know what? I'm good. Let me deal with it. And just like Peter had to accept Jesus cleaning his filth. Just like we have to again and again admit that our feet are stinking, that he's the only one who can fix it. We can't deal with it. It's not something that we can just live with. So as we respond to this, I'm asking, God, is there anything in us right now that we're just saying, you know what, I'm good. You know, Jesus, don't deal with my stinky feet. I'm good. And the invitation is to come with your stinky feet and let Jesus cleanse you. Take it all away. I don't know what God has spoken to you. You know, I don't know if the Lord is just speaking to your heart about going low. That he has just shown that there's just a little thing called pride that really isn't that little. It's actually pretty big, and you mask it in a lot of different ways. And the Word of God says that he opposes the proud. He makes a war against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Because that's what Jesus was. And that's what he's calling his ambassadors, those who represent him, to be like also. Low servants. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen? So maybe God's speaking to you about being a servant. And maybe God's speaking to you about bringing your dirty feet and letting him wash you. Letting him wash you. Do you know that Jesus is your servant? Oh, he's Lord. Oh, he's the King. But he's also your servant. And he wants to. Do you know that he wants to cleanse you of all your sin? Take it all away. So that you have perfect, clear communion with Almighty God. God, I thank you so much for Jesus. I thank you that you have shown us how to live. You have shown us who you are. You are not a mystery to us. You've shown us the Father. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. And not just saying that you love us, but by showing us, by washing our feet, by being a servant on the cross. God, I ask, Lord, that we would be like you. Jesus, that we would serve like you served, and that it would be our joy to serve. And God, I ask, Lord, that we would be low, Lord, not too prideful to get our feet washed again. God, thank you that you take away our sin. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far you've removed our transgression from us. God, we love you. There is no one like our God. Jesus, you are great. You are awesome. You are beautiful. We love you, Jesus. We worship your holy name. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. We can't wait for you to get back. We long to be with you. Amen.